the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. On this, well, we're actually doing this programme on the 13th, which is not good. Friday the 13th. Did you have any disasters, I wonder? Or were you all sort of wonderfully in control of your day? I hope so. This is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains, over in the east of Slovakia, in a lovely town called Poprad, which is why we call it Postcard from Poprad. And my job is to try and keep the other two reprobates in order, which doesn't normally work, it has to be said, in our sideways look at the news, but I do my very best. Over there, slightly worse for wear, and on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. I'm glad I shared that with you, the fact that I'm not feeling on tip-top condition this morning.
Well, at your age, dear.
It is self-inflicted, I see.
At your age, dear, it doesn't really... Well, it's quite situation normal, really, isn't it? And in Paris, having probably got back into the swing of Parisian ways, it's Mark Gander from the Consumer Action Group.
Well, hello there. Yeah, it's a very, very beautiful weather here, I have to say. And also for the listeners at home, I have to say that Lee's problems are actually a bit more grisly than he says, but it's not suitable for family listening.
I think grisly's the word.
That's beautifully put, has to be said. Hi to the listeners at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and, of course, the wonderful RTI. Our thoughts go out to Paul at Replay, who's been very poorly recently, and he's got some great help coming along to help out at the station and things like that. So good luck to you. To Audio Boo and the lovely people on RTI. Fabulous, wonderful, marvellous. And I've got to say hello to Susanna, who saw me the other day and said, "You don't ever say too much to me." Sorry. So I've done that now, so I feel better. Lots of Facebook messages, but far too many to go through today because we've got so much in the news. But I will start off with a wonderful one that I received from Jim Quinnell.
Bless. I like Jim Quinnell. Well, I sort of like Jim Quinnell. It's a little bit, Jim, where you could improve.
I think he's hit the nail on the head. It starts off like this. From me. My co-presenter loves Dylan. Jim, I've seen him about 8 times. He never plays the same song the same way twice. I kind of like that, even though at least 3 times I took the plugs out of my ears before applauding with a smiley.
Ha ha.
Jim,
how did he know the song was over then?
Well, I suppose everybody else was clapping. He could see. And then Jim Quinnell adds, at times he puts the bollock, I said bollock, into shambolic. Superb poetry, though, with a smiley. I don't care, Jim. If I wanted a poet, I'd get that lady from Norwich.
Dylan is a superb poet, really.
I think this is insulting to discuss him as a poet. He's a writer. He's a writer.
Now, actually, I just realised what he is.
What?
He's a Marmite artist.
A Marmite? Yeah, I know what
he means. You know, with Marmite, you either love him or hate him. Oh, and I think that applies to Dylan. He's a Marmite artist. You either love him or you hate him.
No, there are just certain people who are misled. If you, I would say it's Royal Bob's. No, it's Royal Bobness is up there as a vocal stylist. He's up there. Frank Sinatra, Crusoe, Subo. He's up there with the greatest.
Right. I can do brain surgery and cut hair.
Yeah, well, you say you can do anything.
There are limits. Trouble is, I'm going to lose this one because you two both like him, don't you?
I've got to say, Mark, listen to this one. I am now going to break a confidence, something that I've never done on Mr. Eric Wiltshire before.
Uh-huh.
But earlier today...
Oh, stop it!
He expressed an interest in jazz music.
Yeah?
From this little poppy, squirty, knobby stuff that he listens to. Right? He expressed like Jedwood. He likes Jedwood. But he likes jazz music. And actually, his Royal Bobness is actually one of the greatest jazz singing stylists ever.
Push the button. Push the button. Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas mean... Yeah.
Wonderful.
They're very good, but there are... But they're not built. It's like peas. Peas on a plate, add a bit of colour, but don't actually do anything really.
Last year's hymn was Alicia Keys, and it's back end being in every playlist now. New York! New York! Brilliant.
Yes, but you have to agree that Alicia Keys got a name check in Bob Dylan's song from last year of whatever it was called, I can't remember. But that one.
So what you're saying is he gives out crap music but listens to good music.
No, he was trying to diddle her. In a sexual way, not in a financial way, I have to say very quickly, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, let's move on, because unfortunately Bob Dylan raises his ugly 70-year-old head later in the programme.
It's his bit. Mark?
What did I just say?
Sorry, I was just doing my dog with their lip again. No.
Did I just say what it was?
It's Bob Dylan's birthday on the 24th of May, and that's next week, and I'm going to cry.
I said Bob Dylan will reappear later in the programme with his 70th birthday.
Yes.
I wasn't listening because I was trying to talk.
It's a bit early for his birthday, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but every magazine's out as well at the minute. And equally...
Sorry, what was that?
I'm going to sleep. Equally, more...
You've got three speeds.
Oh... It's a vinyl record. I'm going to sleep.
I made myself cough.
Good. And equally, from the 1960s, it's sad to say that when anybody dies, of course, but I struggle to find more than the one-hit wonder of the Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore, or whatever it was. John Walker of the Walker Brothers, who died at age 67.
Yeah, well, they all seem to be going pretty early, don't they? I mean, it's quite amazing. I don't know if it's all the singing that's done it, but what a shame. It was great music, and it was a great number. It was very, very
so come on then, Mark. How many songs can you name of the Walker Brothers? Lee, shut up.
Well, isn't there also Making Up Is So Very Hard? Making... Make it easy on yourself.
Be kind of shy.
Oh, dear.
Good looking too.
Sounds like a pub after 20
have
pints.
Have we paid our performing rights copyright fees for this, by the way?
It sounds like two drunk guys singing in the club.
Where
they do the club song. Oh, sorry, that's Indian.
Walking in the rain.
Yes.
What?
Is it could give me a clap.
I have to say, when I listened to this music, when it was first published at the time, I really thought it was dreadful. And I hated it, and I thought it was just like a dead cat. But because it was so not like all the other stuff, and the Beatles and the Stones and the Who that were going at the same time. But now, looking back at it, I think it's wonderful.
Ballads.
They were ballads, yes, that's right. Ballads.
It was Walking in the Rain, the one that I just rendered so beautifully for you.
Uh-huh.
What about their version, Mark? You must know this, of No Regrets. That good old
sing it, Lee, just to remind us all.
No regrets.
No, you got to get hold. Now, when you do No Regrets, you have to get hold of your throat, right? The little bit of skin around your throat. Wobble it backwards and forwards, like that. And that's when you get. What? No.
Yeah.
I prefer the Goons version if they did one. Looking backwards for Christmas. Sorry, we move on. Great news. She's now number two, not quite number one. Queen Elizabeth II has become the second longest reigning British monarch, passing George III. There's only Queen Victoria to beat her at the moment. And interestingly enough, I heard that there's no chance of her abdicating.
Really?
No, I don't think there is, because look at, she'd have to hang over to thing, wouldn't he? And,
to Charlie. You don't think that Charlie's going to get his turn?
Surely. I think he could do, but...
Ultimately he will, yeah.
But I think she's going to stay on the throne until she's no longer with us.
I think she is trying to beat Victoria, isn't she? Queen Victoria.
Couldn't they just have a tennis match?
Well, Victoria wouldn't be able to play now, dear.
That's true. That's true.
In those long skirts.
Yes, would be a bit of a problem. You'd fall over a lot, wouldn't
Whereas Queen Elizabeth, of course, we're having something shorter and might be sort of scratching her bottom.
Ah, true. Oh, true. Yeah. Anyway, we wish Her Majesty...
Yes, we do.
Every success in beating and getting to number one.
Well, absolutely. I have to say I'm a tremendous a fan of the monarchy, and I think that they're great. And for whatever sort of weaknesses they show, they don't have all the sort of political corruption scandals that we tend to find with other types of head of state elsewhere.
True.
If you see what I mean.
Can I, just before we move on, can I just say something?
Well, you're going to anyway, so why am I going to try and stop you?
Because I just try to be polite.
Oh, I see.
See, when we're talking about John Walker dying, I hadn't had time to speak to
Joanne.
Who?
You said Joanne.
That was all of their songs, wasn't it? Joanna.
No. Yeah. It's all those horrible pub songs from when you're drunk and you think you can sing.
Joanna.
Exactly, my point.
Yeah. Right, also, we have to say, we should really point out and mark the passing of Jet Harris as well.
Ah, he's a lovely... we missed that the other week, actually. He's a wonderful man.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's about 3 weeks ago, isn't it?
Yeah, he's actually...
He's sure. And the last one, Keith Fordyce.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Of Radio Luxembourg fame. Oh,
exactly. Right. I thought you'd want to say something nice about him after you've insulted poor old John Walker.
Well, Keith Fordyce was an absolutely star quality presenter. Really, very, very good. Absolutely good. And Jet Harris, by the way, we used to use. Oh my word, it's gone now. I can hear the song in my brain box, but I can't. It was Jet Harris.
We can hear it there as well.
Yeah. Jet Harris and Tony Meehan did a duet. Yeah. One of their duets. And yeah, did loads of brilliant tracks, actually.
Come on. What? Give us one track off Jet Harris that you remember.
I've got it in... The annoying thing is, we used to use it as a signature tune. It's gone off me blinking brain box.
Oh, no.
It was some...
I thought he was in The Shadows.
Diamonds. Something to do with diamonds.
Diamonds? He was in The Shadows, Jet Harris.
Well, Jet Harris and Tony Meehan were both in The Shadows, you silly beggar.
Yeah, because he used to sing behind that big old grandmother who thinks he can sing, doesn't he?
Girls, I didn't say a word. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
I thank Cliff Richard.
Thank you. Let's move along to something very serious and pass on our thoughts down to Spain, because we do have listeners down there. Terrible earthquake this week where thousands of people have spent the night outdoors down in Lorca. And I was listening to one of the expats down there who was talking about it. And apparently it was really good news because we take the mickey out of Spanish siestas. But because it happened at siesta time, it probably saved a few lives.
I think that's probably true, yeah. What is the latest count? The last count I got was 8 people did die in it, though.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I did.
It's sad.
Anyway, I just bring up one thing that I thought that was rather strange, because in the past few weeks there had been a lot of fear about an earthquake happening in Rome, and I think somebody or other was quite a few years now predicted that there was going to be a disastrous earthquake in Rome, which was going to destroy Rome on exactly the 11th of May. Well, it didn't happen, despite the fact that a lot of people started sleeping out on the streets. But amazingly, it happened in Spain at exactly the same time.
That's a very good point, actually.
You know, I'm just wondering whether anybody's noticed this extraordinary coincidence.
But is it a coincidence? Because how far is Spain away from...
Well, not very far. I mean, the Mediterranean is part of the major fault.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not there by accident.
No, not a fault, dear boys and girls, if you're listening, going, what is he talking about? It's a generic term used for the plates in the earth.
Yes, I wasn't talking about blameworthiness.
No. And they move around.
And Eric's not talking about crockery.
No. Currently, where I'm sitting, I'm sitting right on, almost on top.
Hello.
Hold on, my phone's going. Hold on a minute. I'll have to call you back. We're live on the radio. Yeah. Is that all right?
Thank you. We do such a professional show.
All right, my phone's going to go diddling, 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 diddling as well.
No. Who was that? Who used
to do
that?
I thought that was thousands of Italians phoning up to say we're not dead.
No, that was actually Sylvia in Aqua City calling me. I know why.
That was William Tell you did.
Well, that's what a phone does. Have you not noticed that?
Well, no, because I never phone myself on your phone.
Well, if you're in a radio... Have you not heard this in your car where it kind of goes diddling, 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 diddling when your mobile phone's near your radio in your car?
Yeah.
Well, I was just pretending it was William Tell's overture, wasn't I? Diddling, never mind. Sometimes you try, don't you? Anyway, moving along, he says quite quickly, because we're running out of time. And we've got lots of stories. We really have got lots of stories to get in today. Latest news today from the courts in the UK is Network Rail has been fined £3 million over a train crash that happened in 2002, which I have to say wasn't their problem, because it was the previous company that were in there. And it does beg the question, how come a company that wasn't the company is being sued and is fined for what another company did years before? Well, or have I missed something?
Well, part of the handover is that they take over all their rights and obligations. But I mean, I think that from the sort of public safety and the public interest point of view, I think, you know, what's more important is that the sort of the various failures and so forth are identified, and yeah. that people are compensated, and also that we learn lessons. But I have to say, why on earth has it taken 10 years?
10 years,
more than 10 years. I mean, this is, you know, really disgraceful. I haven't really followed the case, and I don't know who's been dragging their heels or placing obstacles in the way, but I'll bet you somebody has. And that's probably why. So.
Well, anyway, the good news is that the Director of Rail Safety at the Office of Rail Regulation, a gentleman called Ian Prosser, said, "Today marks the end of a long process in which we have sought to gain a sense of justice for the families of the victims of the Potters Bar derailment." And I think that's probably the only thing you can really get from it.
I think that's right. It is interesting what you said, though, that Network Rail have taken the punishment for Railtrack. Mm. That is, I don't really know why that's happened, but I would suggest that now Network Rail have got to sue Railtrack to get their money back.
Well, they can't because they don't exist anymore.
No, but they... See, what did they do? Did they take on all the directors from Railtrack?
Don't know.
Complicated situation,
because I think that's the way it works in those things.
Yeah, okay.
And imagine the scandal if they'd simply said, "Well, sorry, the company doesn't exist. We've got nobody to proceed against." I think that would really deprive people of any sense of justice. If they can get a sense of justice, I'm not sure. If my own children were killed in something like that, I'm just very sorry. I can imagine I'd still be seething.
Absolutely. Talking of another family in turmoil for a long, long time, the McCann family have written to the Prime Minister of the UK, David Cameron, asking for his help. And the interesting thing is, without seemingly batting an eyelid, he's done so, and he's going to encourage the Metropolitan Police, that's Scotland Yard, to get involved. And if you kind of like do one of, and I hate to use the phrase, one of these dead cases, to look at the disappearance of Madeleine McCann again, and try and look through the whole thing. This is a weird case. This is a very, very,
very
weird.
Very weird case. Very weird case. And it's, you see, if you think now, the thing that's kept this story alive, it's not the police. The police in Portugal have abandoned the case.
Yes.
It's the press. It's the newspapers that have kept this case.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, it's the parents.
Under pressure and under influence from her parents.
Well, what are the parents going to do if the press are not going to pick up the story and run with it? And actually, if you want to go down that line, it's actually Lenny the Lion who's running it for them. And he's the one who's selling the stories, not them. They've got their own press officer who used to be on, I think he was on the News of the World. And he's the one who's doing it. But what I'm saying is the newspapers have kept this story alive. We are the only thing that has campaigned to try and find Maddie, along with the parents.
And what about television?
Not much. They ain't done much.
They've done loads of it.
They did at the time, yeah. But they've not done much in, say, the last, 2 years. But the newspapers, particularly the Daily Express, have continued to campaign doggedly for people to find Maddie.
I'm not disputing that, Lee, but the point is that, with the greatest respect to them, there's a few hundred thousand may read it and see something, and yet when they go on to, for example, BBC television, there's millions that get the message. And those millions are not just in the UK, they're all over Europe.
Well, let's say this story's come out in The Sun today, which has sold on I think it's 4 million they've sold today. So that isn't really a few hundred thousand. That's 4 million, and it's a newspaper who's done it, and the television and the radio have picked it up out the newspaper. Oops.
No, it's no oops. It's just a great way of linking the thing together because there's a picture there.
That's right. I mean, I think that's the way that, you know, the normal way that these things happen in the media.
Exactly.
I don't see there's any problem about that at all.
Newspapers lead the way, and you follow it behind us, and you pick it up. All I was saying, before just looking for an argument, I was just saying that the newspapers, for once, should be defended and praised for keeping the Madeleine story alive.
My
sense is it comes down to the energy that's been expended by her parents.
Yes.
You know, I think it's an extraordinary feat.
Yeah, I do as well.
Do you know how big the team is they've got working for them?
Big?
Massive. From lawyers, press agents, and everything. Yeah, of course it's good. But Madeleine's parents are not the ones who've kept it alive. It's the team who've kept it alive. They've done everything they can. They've become the figureheads of this operation. And as a figurehead of an operation, you're not the person who's really driving it anymore. That's all I'm saying. It was good. It's a good thing.
I don't disagree with that, but I would be very upset to think that a newspaper would say, I've done this. I actually think it's the media in general that's done it, both TV, radio, which we'll come on to radio in a minute, as well as newspapers, combined with huge websites, getting millions of people there.
I could go along with you and say, yes, you're quite right, but I'd be lying. It's newspapers who kept this story alive.
I think for the time of this programme, we'll have to agree to disagree, because I will never...
Week out, they have carried stories about Madeleine.
And so have television and radio, Lee, to be honest.
They haven't. Anyway, let's agree to differ.
Thank you. Sir Paul McCartney is to marry his girlfriend of 4 years, the former Beatle, who is a young 68 years old, has become engaged to 51-year-old New York businesswoman Nancy Chevelle, who will become his third wife. And good on him.
And who'd have thought that he'd have gone down on one knee again?
Oh, ho, very droll. Very droll. He moves on quickly, because I want to spend some time on the last story of this particular part of the programme. Jedward reach Eurovision Song Contest final. I love Jedward, and I think their management are brilliant. They had to go through the stages, which Britain don't have to do, which probably means they'll come last again. John and Edward Grimes, who found fame on The X Factor, have got the most. Honestly, if you're thinking of going into the entertainment business, find out who their management is, because they are the best on the planet, and they are making fortunes and taking the mickey out of all those in the media that said they're stupid. Oh no, they're not. They're genius.
They're very clever. They are
absolutely
very clever. So actually rise to the top of the entertainment industry and become very, very rich little boys.
Absolutely.
When they've got absolutely no talent
whatsoever.
At all. Yes, that's genius.
I agree.
Moving on. Personal here.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, shush, guys. I want to spend about 8 minutes on this one, because that's what we've got. eBay have been looking for jobs. Mark's going to tell us the story because he knows more about it, and we'll jump in and balance it and argue with him. But it annoys me how there's no regulation over eBay, and I think this is another example of it. Mark?
Yes. Well, I'm not so sure that it is an eBay story, but this is a Consumer Action Group story anyway. And we have lots of people coming to us with very, very distressing stories on our website. And I came across this story last weekend and managed to find at least 10 people involved so far. And these are people all over the country looking for jobs, who found jobs in job centres. So they were immediately very hopeful and thought maybe they'll be able to finally get some money.
These are government job centres.
And these are government job centres. That's exactly right. And the jobs advertised were eBay listers. Let me say that these people who apply for these jobs, I think they're a bit naive in some way, because they are, in a way, they could have taken more care. But so they got these jobs as eBay listers, so they applied to the job centre, they were given the job, and basically if you had a computer and a broadband connection, then you spent your time listing items on eBay and keeping the list up to date on behalf of some eBay traders who are unknown. And in fact, the eBay traders are the scammers, are the con artists. You then sell the goods, you receive the money into your PayPal account. Big mistake. Don't use your PayPal account for anybody else. And you then keep 10%, because that's your commission, and the rest of it you send to the eBay trader. But about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks down the road, you start getting complaints from the customers who haven't received their goods. You then try to contact the eBay trader, and you find that the eBay trader has disappeared. And you're the person then left shouldering this huge debt. Well, not quite, because PayPal then, because of their guarantees, go back and refund the customers. So they're doing what they're meant to do. But then PayPal turns around and says, well, the money's been stolen, yes, but we want it back from you. And they appoint debt collectors to chase these people who, you know, have acted in a very silly way. But we've now got at least 10 people, and I think it's probably a big national problem. And one thing that may be interesting to non-English people who are listening to us is that I can imagine this is happening maybe all over the world, in the United States, certainly, that people are falling for this. And these people then are being hounded by debt collectors because PayPal refuses to accept that the money's been stolen from them.
Right.
People are being hounded, telephoned, their credit ratings are being spoiled and so forth, and they're having a very difficult and distressing experience.
Right, at this moment, Mark, I'm going to stop you for 30 seconds. We will give the right to both eBay and PayPal to either come on the program or to send us a message for them to pass comment, put their statement out, and we will read it. If they don't, it's their problem.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's fair.
Well, I think that that's very fair as well. And let me say that people have written to eBay and written to PayPal. From PayPal, all you get are the debt collection letters. From eBay, you get nothing. There was even an attempt to post this problem and to identify some of the fraudsters on the eBay forum. And I understand that eBay took the warnings down because it was against their policy to criticize eBay traders.
Funny that.
So that was rather strange. I think a very sad thing is that people are relying on job centres, and I think job centres do have some kind of responsibility to vet jobs. But the job centres, I understand, are even now re-advertising the same jobs under traders' new identities, and people are still being invited to apply for these jobs. So it's non-ending, and I think it's very maybe important to try and at least warn future victims.
I think the important thing there is to, if you are looking for a job like that, check the small print of the contract. Actually, check it. I know that it may sound incredibly inviting or seem very inviting to get a job when you're out of work. I've been there. I know what it's like. But the fact is, read the small print. And if it is that you think that something needs to be checked, ask the question, who is the contract with? Just ask them the one question. Am I working as an agent? Is the contract with me?
Oh, shush.
Am I going to be liable for things that get lost in the post or in any other way accidentally lost? Or am I going to be the person who's the fall guy if the seller doesn't do what they're supposed to do? Just check it. And the fact is...
I think also you have to accept and be aware that the internet, anything to do with the internet, is an uncharted territory at the moment. And there are so many scams, you have to be doubly careful
if you're
doing something on the internet, yeah. Yes.
And also check at the bottom of the contract which country's law applies.
Yes.
That's a good point.
That is actually a very good point, yeah. Yeah.
The big mistake that these people made, really, is using their own PayPal account for this. Of course, one can imagine if the money had gone direct to the traders, then the traders would have taken the whole lot, including their 10%. But at least these people wouldn't be left with these terrible debt problems. And unfortunately, it seems that no one wants to help. They've written to job centres, they've written to MPs, they've written to eBay, the police. All that we've had from the police is the police say, well, it is PayPal that is the victim of this theft of stolen money.
Let me throw something in here very quickly as we get towards the end of part one. One of the tips I always used to give people when they're buying on the internet is ask the person, irrelevant where they are, when you say to them, hey, Lee, where do you live? And he says, Sheffield. You say, blimey, so do I. Can I pop round and see your shop? And then you'll get either the stunned silence or, that tends to seem to tell me it's smelly. Just think about it. That was part one of Postcard from Pop Rap. We'll see you in part two, boys and girls. Do not go away.
Eric, give me a break.
RTI.